Just listen this morning to these encouraging words from Psalm 121.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah
Hi, church family and friends and anyone that might be watching today. As always, it's a joy to be able to share with you from God's Word. And just a wee reminder for our young people that Metal starts back today at 12:30 p.m. following the church meet and chat at 12 noon. You know, we had a really encouraging time at Going Deeper a week past Friday as we kicked off youth ministry in 2021. And we look forward to our Zoom at Metal time today. If you need the details for that, please don't hesitate to get in touch with me and I can give you those details. I do appreciate in these times that online learning requires young people and children as well as families to be online a lot during the week. But I still want to encourage us to make the most of the church opportunities that we have to try and engage online. Unfortunately, we don't have any other way of doing it at the moment. And for those who joined the Evening of Hope on Wednesday past there, I'm sure you were well encouraged. It was a great night and I'm going to make mention of that as we go through this morning. As we come to the message now, I hope that you know the Lord's encouragement in your life and you're uplifted in your spirit as we read and think about the Bible today. Enjoying the presence of God has been our focus as a church for the last couple of months now, and we're nearing the end of this teaching series before we then move on to an 8-week series in the book of 1 John starting in February. So, enjoying the presence of God, and the sermon today is entitled Share. And today we're going to be encouraged to share God with others. That is the time that we spend in his presence. We've not to keep it to ourselves. We are to let it shine. We are to share it with those who are around us. You know, we aren't to keep it to ourselves. We are to share it. I wonder if you've ever received brilliant news and you've just had to share it. That was the case for us back before the school term started in the summer there. And when we moved to East Kilbride, we had put an application in for Andrew to attend Kirkton Home Primary. And we received a letter through to say that unfortunately that request had been declined and the reasons for that. But there was an appeal process that we could go through if we wanted to appeal the decision for those concerned to reconsider it and look at it again. So Heather and myself, we chatted and thought, prayed about it. And we were about to sit down on the Tuesday morning to go through the appeal and fill out the information to then send it away. And the post came. And as the post came, a letter came through from the council, and we opened it up, and it was a letter to say that Andrew had been accepted for Kirkton Home Primary. And you know, we were so delighted, so overjoyed, because we thought we would have to go through an appeal process, and we were keen to get him to Kirkton Home because he had some friends from the church that go there, and just familiarity for him with moving house and changing school. And it was a real answer to prayer for us as a family, and we were glad in that situation that the Lord intervened instead of having to go through an appeal process. You know, it tends to be the case that when something significant happens in our lives, whether we get good news or bad news, we tend to share it with someone or with a group of people because it is good to share. You know, a reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, and it was written by Paul, a man who once persecuted Christians but was transformed by the Lord Jesus. His life was changed, and from that moment on, he spent the rest of his life telling people about Jesus. And we're going to have one of our young people, Sophie, who's going to read from us this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. So I'm going to hand over to you now, Sophie, to read to us.
Pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures had said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures had said.
Well, thanks so much for sharing God's word with us today, Sophie, and that reading that you brought to us. You know, it's always important to understand the context of what we're reading, particularly when we come to the Bible. In the verses leading up to the ones that Sophie just read to us, Paul has been instructing the church in Corinth in regard to their worship. You read about that in chapters 11 through 14. And as we enter chapter 15, he says in verses 1 and 2, "Now let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place." You know, Paul is reminding the church at Corinth about the good news that he preached to them. He encourages them to keep believing. He wants them to be clear about the gospel because some are being misled. And that's why in verse 2 he says, "If you continue to believe in the message I told you." He realises there's a bit of unrest. You know, but how we need to be encouraged, as Paul encouraged the Corinthians, to carry on in what is true. You know, we often need that encouragement in our own lives, don't we? To keep believing in the promises of God, to keep believing that he is faithful, to keep believing that he has a plan, to keep believing that he will use you, and to keep believing that he is coming back. And as Paul encourages the Corinthians to keep believing and to stick to the truth, we also need to be reminded of that. These are great verses that we're focusing on today, that as we enjoy God in his presence, there is a responsibility on us to pass it on. How important is the message that Paul shared and passed on? How important was it? Paul says in verse 3, most important. You know, top priority. There is nothing else that is more important than this. I passed on to you what was most important. So as we think about sharing today, we'll think about sharing with the lost and sharing with each other. So let's start with sharing with the lost. You know, that was exactly the mission of Jesus. In fact, he said that he came to seek and to save the lost. As Jesus was in relationship with his Father, he shared with the lost. In the Gospels, we often see Jesus alone in prayer with his Father God. We see that relationship, and what flowed out of that relationship was a desire to save the lost. Jesus shared about God's love, because God is love. Jesus is love. He shared about the kingdom of God. He shared his life. He gave his life. He laid it down. As we enjoy being in God's presence, it should inspire us and enthuse us to share with the lost. That is those who don't know Jesus, those who don't have a relationship with God. The gospel and the difference that Jesus has made in our lives and the time that we have spent with him, that should radiate from us towards others and those that we come into contact with. You know, you might be watching this today, maybe interested in Christianity, or you might be watching this and you don't have a relationship with God. You've maybe just came across this service today, wondering maybe, what is this about? What am I talking about? You know, can I encourage you today, really encourage you, to think about Jesus' mission to seek and to save the lost, and to save you, and to save me? You know, the truth is that mankind is lost by default. That is in a spiritual sense. We are lost by default before God. We don't have a relationship with him. Our sinful nature separates us from God. Our own shortcomings and faults and failures fall so far short of God. He is perfect and he is holy and he is set apart, and we cannot have relationship with him. But God made it possible that we could, because he came, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, and he took all your wrong, all my wrong, all the wrong and sin of the world on himself, and died on a cross so that your sin, your wrong and my wrong could be dealt with. And then he rose to life again so that you and me can have new life, a new start, a new relationship with God, and enter into a new way of living with Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven today. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Today you can have new life. You can have a new start. You might think, my life's a mess. I'm facing big pressures. I've made big mistakes. Haven't we all? You're never too far away from God. He loves you so much and wants to welcome you and forgive you and restore you and bring you into relationship with himself. Such is God's love. Today there is hope, the greatest hope. That is Jesus Christ. And that is a message that the world needs to hear today amidst all that is going on. And as things look bleak, things are never bleak, you know, when God is there. Never, because he's a God of hope. He's a God of his promises. He's a God of the future. He's the God of a new start. And God accepts you just as you are and takes you as you are and wants to work in you and change you and work through you by his Holy Spirit. And how we all need God today, and how we all need his presence in our lives, and how we need to be spending time with him in the Bible and in prayer. You know, Moses had a wonderful experiences in God's presence, and we read about that in the Old Testament book of Exodus mainly. And in chapter 34, verses 29 through 35, we read something just amazing about Moses being in God's presence. But before I read it to you, let me set the scene, because he spends time in God's presence and then he goes among others. So Moses has been in Mount Sinai with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and God has given him a copy of the new covenant. So here's what happens when Moses then goes back down the mountain. Here's what it reads in Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. When Moses came down Mount Sinai, carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them and asked Aaron and all the leaders of the community to come over, and he talked with them. Then all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them all the instructions the Lord had given him in Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking with them, he covered his face with a veil. But whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until they came out again. Then he would give the people whatever instructions the Lord had given him, and the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face. So he would put the veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord. You know, if we ever needed an example of sharing God's presence with people, this is it. You know, Moses was different. He was changed when he was in the presence of God. And here it's a physical change. His face was glowing because he had been in the presence of God. Wow, isn't that just amazing? So here's the challenge for us today. As we spend time in God's presence, and then we go into our workplace or go into the world, do people see that we're different? Is it so evident in our lives in front of others that we spend time in the presence of God, and that time spent in his presence is so obvious to others? You know, it was so true for Moses. He'd been in God's presence, he comes down the mountain, and people can see that he's different. You know, Moses often met with God like this. Those times must have been amazing. I wish I could just get a snapshot or see into it. Thankfully, we can do that a little through the Bible, but I wonder what that must have been like. Come up on the mountain, Moses, and spend time with me for 40 days, and then go back amongst the people. You know, it's a great study looking at the life of Moses and how he grew to love God and God's presence more and more. Like Paul, Moses underwent a remarkable transformation. You know, Moses killed an Egyptian in Exodus chapter 2. Not a good start. And then in Exodus 3, he's scared of the presence of God when God calls him. But through his life, he begins to trust God more. He spends more time in God's presence. And you know, Exodus 33:11 actually says that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. It isn't actually possible to do that because the Bible tells us that no one can actually see God and live. But what that verse is telling us about is a picture of a deeper relationship. You know, it was close. It was intimate. And Moses reaches a point in his life when he says, Lord, I want to see you in all your glory. And this was a man who was afraid of the presence of God. And yet we see him in his life beginning to love God's presence more and more and more. And how that then became obvious with the people that Moses was leading. When we're spending time with God, it will shine out of us. It will be evident. You know, it was so encouraging to join in the Evening of Hope on Wednesday night past. Fantastic to hear about how God saves and how God works in people's lives. Lorna and Richard shared about how God has turned their lives around and how God is still continuing to work in their lives today. And Mark's presentation was excellent. A simple and clear explanation of the gospel and how we all need Jesus. You know, there were people on watching who don't believe in Jesus. People who are lost. And it was also great to hear from a lady that was on Alpha. And she shared about Alpha. And please be praying for Alpha as it starts back this Wednesday online. I wonder this morning, as we think about sharing with the lost in this part of the message, is there someone that you could invite to Alpha or reach out to? There's still a couple of days to be able to do that. Who could you invite along? You know, the call on God's people is to share with the lost. And we can do that so much more effectively when we're spending time in God's presence ourselves. You know, the times in which we're living at the moment are a great opportunity to share Jesus, the greatest hope, with those who have no hope. We live in a time that what people have put their security in is being taken away. Financial security, jobs, friends, family members, sadly. You know, what's left in your life when you're walking through the storm of COVID-19? You find out what your life is rooted in. What you really trust in, who you really trust in. If it's in God, then you're in safe hands. If it's not, then you're lost. And that is the truth today. You see, for some people to live, it's about work. It's about a nice home. It's about having money. It's about making sure I'm okay and I'm looking out for number one and I'll get ahead and not bother about anything else or anyone else as long as I'm okay. A lot of people live life like that. They think that that's what life is about. You know, what is life for you today? True life. There's an occasion of Jesus in the wilderness, and this came to mind this week as I thought about what does it really mean to live? Let me read it to you from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus here is tempted to depend on something before God. He's tempted to put something else before God. And in this occasion, it's food, it's bread, because he's just fasted for 40 days. But actually, Jesus here, you know, makes it very clear that bread isn't going to really satisfy him. You know, that's not the point. Bread doesn't give life. What does give life? Jesus says, every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, relating to the Israelites' experience. That's what it means to live, to trust God at his word, not putting other things before him, whether it's food, whether it's material things. But you know, how real is that for us in the West? If we're being honest, we're so material, and materialism has such a stronghold on us. And for most people to live, it's not about trusting in God. And the Christian has such an exciting opportunity to share the love of God and the life-changing message of Jesus with others. You know, if God has truly transformed us, and his word is life-giving, and we spend time in his presence and in his word, how can we keep that to ourselves? You know, we can't. We are to pass it on, as Paul says. Pass on what? What's most important? The gospel, Jesus Christ. Paul tells that. He says that in the verses, that that's what's most important. Jesus Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. On a side, isn't it interesting that Paul uses the phrase, "just as the scriptures said," twice in this little section that I just read? I say that because Jesus says, "as the scriptures say," in his response to temptation that we read just a few moments ago. That maybe gives us a little insight into Paul's heart for the scriptures and his love for the word of God. So sharing with the lost flows out of our daily private devotional time with God. Being in that place with God should give us that desire more and more and more to share with those around us who are lost, to pass on Christ and him crucified and resurrected, as Paul says. But now we're going to think about sharing with each other. Paul says in verse 3, "what had also been passed on to me." So what was passed on to Paul? You know, we find the answer to that question in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, when Paul says, "I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ." How good is it to share what God is doing in our lives with each other? But also where we're reading and praying each day, and what God is teaching us and showing us and challenging us with individually as we spend time in his presence. Paul is passing on here what he has received directly from the Lord in the private place. You know, there was a man in the church that Heather and myself attended when we were in Motherwell, and he would regularly ask people questions like, how are you doing spiritually? Where have you been reading in your Bible? How's your prayer life? What's God been encouraging you with, helping you with, challenging you with? People tried to avoid this guy because they knew he would ask. And doesn't that tell its own story? I wonder, who are you watching this with right now? You might be on your own. You might be with your family. But I wonder if you're watching this with someone that you would be able to share where you've been reading your Bible in the past week, how God has been encouraging you, or challenging you, or what he's been speaking to you about. I wonder if you'll be prompted to pick up the phone in response to this word today, to maybe just share with someone an encouragement from the Bible, or to feel that you need to speak more about the Lord flowing out of your personal relationship with him. As the family of God, we are called to share with each other. And at times in church life, if we're being honest, it's the thing that we do least. And yet as Christians, it should be the most natural thing that we do, to speak about God. You know, I was in a situation a few years ago serving with church leaders who felt uncomfortable about asking people in the church how they were doing spiritually. That's true. And isn't it bizarre that the people who hold a high responsibility in church leadership would struggle to speak about spiritual things with the people that they're meant to be shepherding? Isn't that sad? You know, we should never be at that point. Speaking about the Lord should be the most natural thing that we do as his people. We're called to encourage one another. And one of the best ways that we can do that is to share God with each other. Share scripture with each other. Share what God is doing in our lives with each other. I wonder, when is the last time you shared where you were reading in your Bible with someone, just to encourage them? Shared how your prayer life is going, whether good or bad. You know, I can recall many times over the years when I've received a message or a card from someone just sharing how God has encouraged them, and that they just wanted to pass it on to me for it to be an encouragement to me. And you know, it has always come at the right moment. As we think about encouraging each other at EMBC, you know, we believe it's really important for each of us to have a mentor, you know, that source of encouraging each other, and also to be part of a life group where we can also encourage each other as well. But Paul in these verses is sharing with the church in Corinth to remind them about what is most important. We see Paul throughout the New Testament sharing with others, and we see him sharing a lot with local churches to encourage them, to help them, and to point them in the right direction. You know, it's so important that we do that with each other. We are called to walk together as the family of God and as the people of God. And it's sad at the moment we can't do that because of what's going on. But you know what we can still do is pray for each other, call each other, send a card or an email or a message. These are some of the ways that we can still share God with each other. And you know, when you do that, you have no idea how much of a blessing it is for the person who receives it. God is good, and he is worth sharing together. You know, I've been really encouraged and challenged this past week, reading, thinking, and praying about this message. Encouraged by the fact that Jesus' mission to seek and to save the lost is still active today, and people are still coming to know Jesus. How fantastic. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. Encouraged that God wants his people to share him with others, and for others to see him through his people. Encouraged that God continually speaks to his people in the quiet place. Challenged to share with the lost and play my part in God's plan as a disciple who makes disciples. Challenged to take opportunities to share about the Lord when they come my way. And challenged to make time for the quiet place with God each day. And that is the most important thing. And everything else flows out of that. And that overflows into every aspect of our lives. What encourages and challenges you today as you think about sharing with the lost and sharing with each other? You know, the bottom line is this: your effectiveness as a follower of Jesus, whether sharing with the lost or sharing with each other, flows out of your private, personal, devotional time with God. You know, if that isn't alive, then you're just trying in your own strength. When you're in that place with God, you won't even need to try. It'll just shine out of you, just like it did with Moses. It will be so evident and obvious before others that they will recognise that there is just something different about you. And how great it is when that happens, that people can see us as being different because we're marked by the Lord and marked by spending time in his presence. And that has an impact on those that we come into contact with. You know, we all struggle at times in our devotional time with the Lord. But one of the best things that we can do if we are in that place is to talk about it and then start again. So important. Talk about it and then start again. And as we enjoy the presence of God, it should overflow into every area of our life. Whether it's sharing with the lost and passing on to them what is most important, or whether it's sharing with each other as the family of God. As I come to conclude, I would like us to reflect. You know, earlier on I spoke about sharing with others. And we've been thinking about that today. I wonder if there's someone in your life, someone significant in your life, that has shared God with you just at the right time. It might have been when you've came to faith. It might be somebody who's been a constant throughout your spiritual walk with God, that has just been an encourager, that has just sent you those messages at the right times. And what I would like you to do is to give God thanks for those who have shared with you. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in a wee moment. But the challenge this week as well is that who will you share with? It might be someone that needs to come to know the Lord. It might be that invite to Alpha and Wednesday. Or it might be someone in the church family that you just want to encourage and share God with. Here's my devotional this week. I just want to pass it on to you because it's been such a blessing to me. It might be sending someone a card or picking up the phone, sending a wee message or an email or whatever it might be. But maybe be encouraged today to keep going with God in the quiet place and enjoy his presence. But as Paul tells us, to pass on what is most important to the lost and to each other. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much today, again, for who you are. And Lord, we can never stop thanking you enough for who you are. A loving God, a holy God, a patient God, a caring God, a just God. We thank you, Father, today for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we're encouraged to pass on what is most important. Jesus and him crucified and him rising again to new life so that we can be forgiven and have new life. And we thank you for that today, Lord Jesus. And I pray that if there's anyone who's joined today that doesn't know that, that in these moments now they would come to know you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and as Saviour. And know forgiveness and a new start. Father, as we come this morning, I'm sure we can all think of people who have had input into our lives, those that have passed on to us. And Lord, we just take a moment quietly now, where we are, to thank you for those people. And Lord, as we thank you for those people, we also feel the challenge today of the importance of passing on to those around us. those in the family of God. And Lord, would you just lay in our hearts now those that you would want us to pass on to, those that you would want us to encourage. And as we just sit quietly now, Lord, maybe you'll bring people to mind that you want us to do that with this week. Father, thank you. Thank you so much that you have saved us, that you walk with us in these times that are so different and so difficult. We thank you that you're a God who walks beside us, the one who's promised to be with us always till the end of the age. Father, give us a fresh inspiration and enthusiasm to love your presence more and more each day, and just to make that place a priority. And Lord, we thank you that when we do that, what flows out of our relationship with you becomes evident to those around us. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for all of taking part in our service today. It's still great to see the worship team down there being able to record worship in the church. And I hope today that you have been encouraged and knowing God's love and God's power just working in your life. As always, you know, there's opportunity for prayer. You know, you can send things down our prayer chain. You know, get in touch with us through the office email. If you're needing prayer for something, we're here to help wherever we can help. That's really important that you keep hearing that message. Let me remind you, 12 o'clock, we've got our catch-up using the ENBC Zoom details. Prayer time tonight. We miss you all, so it'd be good to see as many people as possible on our catch-up at 12 o'clock today. Thank you for connecting with us today. God bless you and the rest of your day, and we'll see you next week.